Blog Talk Radio.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture, cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture. Somebody get paid just to polish it. Look the devil right in the eyes and won't acknowledge it. For some it's automatic that they turn into some college kids. But my kind won't make it out the hood without a scholarship. Faced with adversity that some will never understand. Why be in denial when you know you had the upper hand? Playing used to rally downtown in my city. And you wonder why the race relationship so shitty? Show no pity. That's the motto of the PC. It ain't just my city. It's all over the TV. Martin Luther King. I think about the dream he had for a nation that turned him less than 6 feet. And I ain't saying that the government sent a hit. But the timing show make it a coincidence. I try to see the big picture through a small frame. And never take no wooden nickels when they all change.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free.
I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see
they say a picture's worth a thousand words. So when your words ain't visible, it cause concern. I live and learn to the point where I can see it coming. The loudest mouth in the room ain't really about nothing. That nigga bluffing, check his resume, it ain't legit. You know the one that bought the ocean but ain't got a ship. You know the one that bought the sixes but ain't got a whip. You know the one that bought the Tech 9 and ain't got a clip. These boys a trip, I done heard it all, seen it all before. Boys be more like shaved ice when they claim they Tony Snow. Say they Don Juan and got passport bitches. But why you in the club with some trash bags with you? Say you out there ballin' and you're coming up quick. But it ain't worth having things if you can't own shit. MC Bree told you ain't no future, no frontin'. Keep that shit to Birdman with all of that stunt.
Homie, I hope you see the big picture. Cause everything ain't what it seems. And when you get what you ain't paid for, somebody owe, cause ain't a damn thing free. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture, 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 picture. I hope you see the big picture.
All right. Welcome, welcome, one, welcome all. This is the Panther Party Radio Network. This is the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. If anyone is listening online tonight and would like to call in and be a part of the discussion, the call-in number is 914-205-5538. Again, 914-205-5538. Tonight I will be discussing police brutality first and foremost. Also want to talk about the cases actually of Elijah McClain, young brother who we unfortunately lost at the hands of the punk-ass Aurora PD, and also want to discuss some of the things that have happened concerning the Ahmaud Arbery case. And mind you, I'm going to talk about these things, but I want to say this. These are things that should not have happened. Before I get started, I want to address something that I see happening on a wide scale across this divisive-ass country. And I'm seeing this coronavirus now being used as a dividing mechanism. And I want to talk about this shot for a quick minute For those of you who haven't been keeping up with this corona news, there's a new variant that's out now that is resistant to the vaccine. It's called Mu, M-U. I actually read about this on last Friday, and that's concerning. And I'm really starting to wonder more and more now if these viruses that we are seeing right now aren't man-made. Mind you, I understand that viruses mutate. Just like the flu virus is mutated year after year after year. But the way that these COVID viruses are mutating now really leads me to think, and this is all my opinion, what I'm about to say. This is not the opinion of the party. This is strictly my opinion, but I'm really coming to the thought process that they are trying to mutate this virus to find out which one of them is going to affect us. And when I say us, I'm speaking about black people. Y'all forgive my dog in the background. But I am really starting to believe that they're testing these new variants to see how they're going to affect us. And I'm saying all that to say this, because I haven't taken the shot. And honestly, I have no intentions on taking the shot. I am skeptical about it. It hadn't been that long removed that the Tuskegee experiments happened. Not only that, I cannot forget about the man that they call the father of modern gynecology, Sims, and what he did to our black women. Just in order to have the medicine, medicinal advances that they have now in the field of gynecology. Black women were used as guinea pigs, and most of the time they were not given anesthesia because the thought process for them was our skin was thicker, therefore we didn't feel pain, which is the most ludicrous thing that I've ever heard. But, you know, when we're dealing with who we're dealing with, you can't expect much when it comes to the avenue of intellect. So that is my reasoning for not taking the shot. Mind you, taking the shot have still gotten the virus, and they may not get as sick, but I mean, still just ineffective. Not enough time has amassed for me to risk my life. And then with these new variants that are coming out constantly, and this new variant of Mu that they're saying is resistant to the vaccines that are out here now. So the progression of this virus is, you know, scary to say the least, how these variants are progressing so fast. And I'm just saying that to say this, stay safe, because I was in East Texas today. I'm actually still in East Texas. And I was talking to some people. There's been so much death. And I was talking to some people who had visited the hospital that is here in Sulphur Springs, Texas. So I heard so many stories. I was told three stories in particular where people were sent home, and within a couple of days, they passed on. And that is why we, as a whole, collectively, dodge medicine, dodge hospitals, especially the black man is more reluctant, because even I myself am very reluctant. I have to be in a lot of pain before I will visit a doctor. That's unfortunate, but when you have a past history patient on blacks, well, I don't want to be one of those. And I'm saying that to say this: be safe, mask up. I mean, if you're not going to vaccine, and me, I mean, I'm a truck driver, I'm out on the road, I'm in and out of a lot of hot states right now, and I see it firsthand. People are not respecting this virus, and this virus is not discriminating. It doesn't matter what color, how old, none of that. It is doing its job, unfortunately. So I'm just saying what I'm saying to people to stay safe. And if you feel as if you are coming down with something, start a regimen of antibiotics or green teas and elderberries, sea moss. Eat a lot of greens, green veggies. Just stuff that you can, that your body can use to naturally fight off these viruses, because there's nothing that the body can't do if the body is maintained and if the body is given the right nutrients that the body can actually use to fight off these sicknesses and illnesses. It is just as good as a shot. I haven't had a cold in 7 years, knock on wood. I try to just put the right things in my body. And, yeah, I'm not sitting here saying I'm a health nut. No, I'm not. I mean, I still like burgers and fries as well, but I try not to make that my whole diet. I try to put some fruits, some vegetables, in the mix during the week to keep everything somewhat regular. You know, there are natural things that we can do, like I say, as opposed to these shots, you know, these man-made cures and these man-made things that we intake and ingest and into our bodies. And like I say, the stories that I heard about the people here that have been lost was concerning, because it seems that certain people get care while other people get noticed but really don't get the same care. So like I say, just be safe, be vigilant, mask up, because not everybody is taking this serious. And I'm honest enough to say I haven't had a vaccine, but I'm going to wear my mask and continue to wear my mask to try to keep everybody safe. And see, this is one of those situations where we have to rely on our fellow man to be honest and truthful about, you know, vaccine or no vaccine. And then my thing is, I know that there are probably numerous people who are walking around out here unvaccinated but also unmasked. And I think that's also a contributing factor to why this thing is spreading so fast. I hate to be right, but I had told my wife back at the first of the year, after Christmas and all the holidays last year, I told my wife in about end of January, going into February, I said, by the end of this year, I said, things are going to be, we're going to have to celebrate holidays the same way in 2021. And I hate to be right, but the way it's looking, yeah, I mean, we've got these schools out here that are opening, sending children into the line of fire. And not only that, in some states, like this state I live in, Texas, where we have this jackass of a governor, Greg Abbott, who feels as if mask mandates are just the worst thing that can ever happen. But like I say, he's such a jackass that it doesn't surprise me. You know, and then what, a few days later, he catches it. So all I'm saying is be safe, and it's time for us, the ones who feed and clothe these children and make sure that they have roofs over their heads, it's time for us to take control back, because they're sending our kids out on the front line right now. And I hate to use this phrase, but what they are doing is sending our children out on the front line like test dummies, and that's what they're doing, to see what happens. And we all know what is going to happen. Common sense should tell us what's going to happen in that scenario. So, yeah, I'm just saying to be safe, be vigilant. If you haven't been vaccinated, mask up. Even if you have been vaccinated, mask up anyway. Be double safe. 'Cause let me go on and say it now. We need each other. We need each other, and we need each other out here breathing. We can't unite if we're not here. So it's essential that we remember who public enemy number one is, and anything aimed at eliminating people, we're top of the food chain in that area. Because, yeah, they, you know, it's no secret, they don't want us here. And like I'm saying, all I'm saying about the vaccine and these medical professionals, so-called, is be vigilant and start being more self-aware of your own health. And like I say, if you feel yourself maybe coming down with something, start doing treatments and taking some of the natural remedies that are available. And then, like I say, just eating fruits and vegetables and different green vegetables, especially anything that's high in antioxidants, like blueberries even. You know, there's so many things, like I say, that we can put into our bodies that will allow our bodies to be at 100% to fight off anything. And like I mentioned, you know, I'm lucky enough, knock on wood, not to have had a cold in the past 7 years. And I don't eat the healthiest or none of that. But like I say, I do try to limit my garbage intake, because, you know, that's really what allows these viruses and these other sicknesses to take control of our bodies and spread and do what they do. But I just wanted to touch on that for a quick minute before I jump into my subject of discussion tonight about Elijah McClain and the Ahmaud Arbery cases. And like I say, just a discussion really on police brutality in general, because it's something that, despite COVID happening and despite the lockdowns and all that, well, police brutality didn't never get locked down. And we saw that in these two particular cases, especially with Ahmaud Arbery and Elijah McClain, those two cases. And then that's just another one of those instances in the case of Ahmaud Arbery, where we have these holier-than-thou ignorant white racists who feel as if black people just have to do what they say, when they say, how they say, and that's why I'm so heavy on unity, because if we unite, well, we can shut these ignorant racists like the McMichaels and that other jackass that was with them. We can shut that kind of nonsense down, and that needs to happen immediately. And then we have the case with Elijah McClain out of the great racist state of Colorado. And I before I talk about Elijah McClain's case, I just want to say something, because I don't have love for these pigs anyway. I just don't really respect any man or woman who will allow, sit back and watch and allow another man or woman mistreat, accost, even murder an innocent person, and then concoct these bullshit stories, excuse my French, but concoct these bullshit stories to give to the public. And then a few days later, or a few weeks later, the truth will come out. Thing that bothers me about these types of cases, and especially when there are cover-ups involved, like with both of these cases, and, you know, and like with the majority of these cases, they all start off, they're trying to cover their asses and make it seem as if the victim was doing something wrong. And that's the initial story that we always get from these killer cops. And that's what they are. And especially, I was going to say with these pigs in Colorado, because I lost an uncle in Aurora, Colorado back in the 90s. Something similar to what happened to Elijah McClain happened to my uncle. My uncle was getting gas at a gas station, and the police pulled up just messing with him. You know how they do. They can ask you a question, and if you really don't want to mess with them, well, then they're still going to push the issue. And then if you try to walk away from them, they'll try to say, well, long story short, my uncle wasn't having it, and he tried to leave. They didn't let him leave. They fought him. And when the ambulance arrived, the ambulance actually helped accost my uncle and put him into handcuffs. So the similarities, when I heard about the Elijah McClain case, yes, I was upset. But then when I heard about how the ambulances helped and got involved, and that really resonated with me and dug up some old wounds for me, because I'm thinking to myself, is this just a Colorado practice where the EMTs are allowed to get involved and help beat up innocent victims that police have accused of these bogus-ass bullshit charges, just like with my uncle, doing nothing, minding his business, getting gas? And I can just imagine how it went. The police pulled up there asking him questions. He didn't want to answer them. He didn't have to answer them. He's done nothing wrong. But yet and still, the situation escalated. My uncle lost his life. Not only did he lose his life, they beat him senseless. He was in a coma, handcuffed to a damn hospital bed. And then what's really bothersome is nobody ever had to pay any consequences, and my uncle's gone. And when I would go to Colorado, my Uncle Larry would be one of the first to make it over to my aunt's house to see me. And I loved my uncle. We all love our families. But just not everybody loses their family members to punk-ass racists who feel like they're so superior that we should follow their every word, follow their every command. I may not be a police, but then in the case of Ahmaud Arbery, we have what? An ex-punk-ass cop. Y'all excuse my French, but this subject for me is really just a heated subject. I dislike people who are put in power and abuse it. So if this conversation is going to bother or offend anyone who's a Blue Lives Matter fan, this is not going to be the show for you. And I'm just going to say that now because the police departments from east to west, north to south, and all the way in through it need to be fixed. I'm all for defunding the police. What do they do anyway? I say, yeah, defund them. Make them clean up their act. Nobody can go to a job and behave the way cops do. You can't go to your job and tell your supervisor how much work you're going to do. You don't tell your supervisor how much money he's going to pay you. But these punk-ass cops feel like they're so much higher above everyone else that my word is law. Law doesn't matter. What I say matters. And if you don't do what I say, you'll see why what I say matters. And that's how they operate. That's how they get down, at least when it comes to my people. And now, I understand. Let me clear this up. Clear this up because, yeah, I saw the videos where there have been Caucasians who have, yeah, definitely been mistreated by the police as well. But, see, the difference is y'all will still put that Blue Lives Matter pin on your chest and try to support something that's not supporting you. And I've said this once before to all my poor white people. You need to get on the boat. Stop drilling holes and start rowing because the boat you in is with us and it's sinking fast. And the quicker that you realize that you are on our level, the better off you'll be. Because in the eyes of this system, poor and rich, and you're either or. And if you're not rich, you're poor. And if you're poor, you really don't matter to this system. And see, some white people are being thrust into a position of minority. Minority. I see more white people now living in the so-called ghettos than I ever have in life. Because everybody's not rich, and there is no more middle class. So now, yeah, there are white people who are subject to the treatment that we are receiving simply because of where they stay, you know. So all of that comes into play, the redlining, the police, the over authoritative police, the police brutality. And then, like I say, in these cases we have a little bit of both. And then, you know, come to find out the DA in the Ahmaud Arbery case was trying to suppress evidence. That shouldn't be surprising to anyone. When I read that article, it didn't surprise me. Just wondered, you know, dang, how does it take y'all so long to find these things out? But it was refreshing to at least know that they did find out, you know. Now the question is, what actions will they take? Is she really going to get jail time? You know, we're still hanging on a thread, waiting on these trials to start to see if we're going to see justice or will it just be a continuation of the injustice that we always receive. you know. And like I say, the Elijah McClain situation. What's up with these EMTs getting involved? See, that to me is nothing more than that white elitism. Some of white people feel empowered over us. And especially when it is someone who doesn't look like them, they're more apt to react. And then you may lose your life for nothing. This young man, doing nothing, and he was an introverted person. You could tell he was an introverted person just from the conversation that he was having with the police. You could tell he didn't really interact with many people. Like I say, just from the way the interaction occurred with the police. But long story short, no reason for this young man to lose his life for nothing, simply because he's walking home and they deem him suspicious. Well, they all are suspicious to me. Every pale face I see is suspicious to me. And until he opens his mouth, and then I'll know if he's one of them or one of those, or, you know. But why is it that our suspicions and people's suspicions of us always lead to our demise, always lead to us dying, losing our life? And then we have families who no longer have a brother, son, uncle, cousin, who are left to grieve. And then the kicker is we never get justice. So many times in these cases, when they happen, we saw it over and over and over again where, you know, a black life is taken and no one cares. They put together one of these little trials, and then they vilify the victim as much as possible, and then they let a killer walk free or either give them the smallest amount of time that they can. You know, now some of these circumstances, yeah, you know, a couple of them got 15, 20 years, but then, too, you know, you do have that time and they're up for parole. You know, and then we have, in the case of Bolton John, where this Amber Geiger has already filed for an appeal. And I Googled the other day, about 3 weeks ago, and I'm going to have to re-Google again, because they still, that board who heard her appeal has still not rendered a decision. Because I looked 3 weeks ago, at least 3 weeks ago, they hadn't. So what's taking them so long? What takes them so long to render justice, to give a just decision, especially in cases like these that are so open and shut? Okay, they indicted all the police officers and the EMTs who were involved in the death of Elijah McClain. Okay, it's nice. That's nice. The indictment is nice, but we want time. Not just no bullshit time. They took a life. And my theory and my thought process, and this is my opinion only, not the opinion of the whole Panther Party. This is just my opinion. And my opinion is, if you take a life, well, you should say goodbye to yours. Whatever it is that you do to another, you should have it done to you, because that would stop a lot of the nonsense. That would even stop a lot of the police brutality that we see. Fight immunity bullshit gives them really a right, gives them a ticket to kill, because it's just like, oh yeah, I can
kill this Negro and or this Spick or this Mexican or whatever. You know, I can kill this person, and the consequences for me are not the same. So how does that curb police brutality? If anything, it enhances it to the point where we see it now, where, you know, they'll take a chance at killing a person, and they'll roll the dice. You know, and I feel like a lot of these police killings, this is just another one of my opinion, because these police departments and sheriff departments are so heavily infiltrated now with what else? None other than white supremacists and white nationalists and these neo-Nazis. So I feel like, too, a lot of these police killings that have been happening over the last few years are initiations for these white supremacists, you know, to get their stripes, to get the recognition that they want, you know, to get the attention that they seek, to move up in the ranks. So, you know, these are all things that we have to think about. These are all things that we have to keep in the back of our mind because, yes, these police departments are full of racist cops. And we see that on a daily basis just by the way we're treated and people who don't look like them are treated. And then, too, you have some that look like us that treat us even worse than the ones that don't look like us. So it's really about that stinking badge and that power that they're given. And not everyone deserves that type power, period. And we're seeing a lot of why people, some people, do not deserve that type of power. So I'm going to take a quick break. I see I got a couple of callers on, and I'm glad we can get off into this subject tonight. I'm on take an opportunity once again. Let me thank our online listeners who listen from Nigeria, from Canada, of course here in the United States, India as well. I want to thank you all for, you know, taking the time to just listen to our station, listen to our shows, our thoughts, our opinions. It means a lot to us. We're all out here just trying to work to make this place a little bit better, and having a global connection, I think, is essential to that as well. We can all help each other do better. We can all help each other be better. I mean, it's up to us to help each other get to where we want to be, you know, and like I always say, we need each other out here more than we know. But I'm going to take a quick break. Like I said, tonight's topic is, I was just running over a few points in the Elijah McClain case and the Ahmaud Arbery case, as well as just police brutality in general and how we face it, really the reasoning of why they do it. So just a lot on the table tonight, a lot to talk about, and like I say, I'm going to get right to it. Again, if you are listening online and would like to be a part of the discussion tonight, you're more than welcome to call in and take part. You're welcome to call in, matter of fact. But I'm going to take a quick break. The call-in number is 914-205-5538. I'm going to take a real quick break, like I say, and we'll be right back to dig off into this a little deeper. You are listening to the Panther Party Radio Network, and this is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. Stay tuned. Be back after this quick break.
Hello. We pattern our lives today after a caveman and after a cavewoman that just crawled out of the caves and hills of Europe and walk around today with an attaché case smelling like Pierre Cardin and smelling like Uchi and Coochie and Gucci and all that other stuff. This is a caveman. He spent 2,000 years, she spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of Europe. I'm still talking about the goddamn white man. Spent 2,000 years in the caves and hills of where? E-U-R-O-P-E. This man, Elijah Muhammad, and this man, Louis Farrakhan, they teach us that EU means caves and hillsides. Euro, Eureka, you've heard the term. EU means caves and hillsides. Rope is self-explanatory. They were roped or bound or confined within the caves and hills of Europe for 2,000 years. And for 2,000 years, this blue-eyed devil crawled around on his all fours. He ate his meat raw. They ate each other even. They ate dogs. They ate anything. They take tree limbs and bust an animal in the head or drop a rock or a boulder on the animal and bust the animal in the head, blood everywhere, all in the mangy, diseased fur of the animal, drag the animal back to the cave, and the little baby devils and the medium-sized devils and the mama devil and the daddy devil and the uncle devil and the auntie devil and the cousin devil and the grandma devil and the grandpa devil, all of them within start biting on the nasty hair and fur of this dead, bloody animal lying right there in the cave. They didn't know anything about fire. Yeah, when they first discovered fire, they damn near ran off the cliff. Gee whiz, gee manini, what is that? Really, they couldn't make any, they couldn't even talk in those days. How many of you saw the movie Quest for Fire? Hold your black hands up. If you saw Quest for Fire. In Quest for Fire, you saw... But they tell you, you were a savage. They want you to believe that you were a savage. They walked around all in ooga booga. They're the ones that put the lie on us. But they were the ones ooga. I sign language and all kind of stuff. You could always talk. There's never been a time when you couldn't talk, black man. And we know it ain't never been a time when you couldn't talk, black woman. Sister got something to say. Because she's the first teacher. The children, the babies, they learn the language from her. They don't call it the father tongue. They call it the what? Why they call it the mother tongue instead of the other tongue? They call it the mother tongue because it is mother who fills them with the spirit of life. It is mother who inspires them, giving them inspiration and information that moves them along the course of life. And so they call it the mother tongue because the goddess is the one who breathes that life into them. Y'all still with me? We still talking about the goddamn white man.
In order for you and me to devise some kind of method or strategy to offset some of the events or repetition of the events that have taken place here in Los Angeles recently, we have to go to the root. We have to go to the cause. Dealing with the condition itself is not enough. And it is because of our effort toward getting straight to the root that people oftentimes think we are dealing in hate. We are oppressed. We are exploited. We are downtrodden. We are denied not only civil rights, but even human rights. So the only way we're going to get some of this oppression
and exploitation away from us or aside from us is come together against the common enemy. Who taught you to hate the texture of your hair? Who taught you to hate the color of your skin to such extent that you bleach to get like the white man? Who taught you to hate the shape of your nose and the shape of your lips? Who taught you to hate yourself from the top of your head to the soles of your feet? Who taught you to hate your own kind? Who taught you to hate the race that you belong to? So much so that you don't want to be around each other. No, before you come asking Mr. Muhammad, does he teach hate, you should ask yourself, who taught you to hate being what God gave you? And I, for one, as a Muslim, believe that the white man is intelligent enough. If he were made to realize how black people really feel and how fed up we are without that old compromising sweet talk. Stop sweet talking it. Tell him how you feel. Tell him how, what kind of hell you've been catching, and let him know that if he's not ready to clean his house up, if he's not ready to clean his house up, he shouldn't have a house. It should catch on fire and burn down.
All right. Welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. And tonight we I'm discussing the Elijah McClain case, the Ahmaud Arbery case, and just the police brutality in general. You're listening online, calling number 914-205-5538. You can call in and listen or press 1 if you want to speak, make a comment, or whatever that you may have on your mind that you want to say. You are more than welcome. Like I say, we're discussing the Ahmaud Arbery case, which really, in all these cases, such as Ahmaud Arbery, such as Elijah McClain, just similarities in all of these cases, from Trayvon Martin all the way to now. And honestly, you know, it's just like I was saying earlier, the police brutality is way out of control. The qualified immunity gives them somewhat of a feeling of having a pass and just being able to continue to assault and murder citizens, innocent citizens at that. And then, like I say, like in so many of these cases, we have such misinformation, you know, and there are things that we find out months after the fact, you know, just like in the situation with Elijah McClain. Now, here we are months after the fact, finding out now that the DA was actually trying to work to suppress evidence and the McMichaels free men. And that's why I say, you know, regardless of how you feel, regardless of what you think, we got to start working together. Really, we don't have any other choice unless we want to keep suffering the same fate that we've been suffering. Now, if that's what you want, yeah, we can keep sitting on our hands doing nothing. But I don't think very many of us are into liking the treatment. But, you know, like I say, we can't expect it to change if we're not willing to stand up and make enough noise about it to make it change. And I mean, I'm not saying that we don't make up noise, because, yeah, we make up a lot of noise, but what we have failed to do in the making up of noise is to come together and stay together. I mean, I'll just go back to last year, George Floyd, and I really thought, and I've spoke on this before, but I really thought that was going to be the case that was going to really galvanize us as a people and bring us together. After watching a man more or less get lynched by knee for the whole world to see. And I will say that it did bring certain people out and that I never thought I would see out. But what I really thought it was going to do and wanted it to do was to bring us together, and not just bring us together, make us stay galvanized and actually start creating a flow and actually picking up momentum, you know, because what I've always said is that it's going to take all of us, and it's going to take all of us, not just black, poor white people. I was speaking at y'all a minute ago. We gonna need y'all help. Asians, we're gonna need a collective effort from all people who are just tired of the systematic oppression. And then really the ability, really not having true freedom. Let's just say what it is. You know, but the illusion of having what we say is true freedom, what we feel is true freedom, but it's really not. And most of these states are turning into police states, you know, where these police forces are becoming so militarized to the point where, you know, it's all about power and control, and we're seeing that within these inner cities, the power, the control that they try to exact on certain people. So it's up to us, like I say, to change that condition and to make sure that we're all safe and that we get fair treatment. I mean, really, that's what it boils down to. You know, because, I mean, we all want to live, and we all want to thrive as well. But some of us are really not given a true, fair opportunity to do so. You know, and then some of us have obstacles that others don't ever have to worry about. You know, but it, because you don't have to worry about it, doesn't mean that it shouldn't concern you. And what's so bothersome is, you know, some of us can know that what's happening is wrong, yet and still we'll co-sign it because it doesn't affect us. And that's a whole lot of the problem in this country. What doesn't affect certain people? Well, some people don't bother themselves with the issue if the issue doesn't affect them. But what affects one of us really and truly affects all of us, directly or indirectly, and in most cases, indirectly. But it still has an effect on you. And that's why I say it is important for all of us to do our part, you know, in this And like I say, the way we're policed now is, you know, similar to the way we were policed in slavery days. We're being policed more as property as opposed to being policed as people, as humans. Some of us are policed as property, as less than. And there are a lot of you who understand and know what I'm talking about and where I'm coming from when I say that. So, you know, like I say, it's just time to make a little more effort on being there for one another, you know. Make a little more effort in getting involved. I mean, because like I say, we all have a part that we can play in this, and there are numerous roles, numerous positions that need to be filled. This is a fight. This is a real fight, and right now we're not even punching back. So, yeah, we have definitely got a long, hard road ahead of us to a feeling that there's nothing that we can accomplish, nothing that we can accomplish if we start moving in that direction. And like I say, it's really past time. And I see so many brothers and sisters out here making the effort, trying to change minds and trying to change the way we're treated, the way we're looked at. And I just want those brothers and sisters to know that they're not alone. You know, I'm out here too. A lot of my comrades I know want the same, all of my comrades, we want the same thing, to experience freedom, to finally see justice and equality. You know, real equality. Nothing watered down. Not the fake. Not just the rhetoric. Because a lot of times that's all we get. We get the talk, but we never get the walk. They always tell us what we want to hear, but we still never get it. So it's up to us to change that. I'm going to take another quick break. Still got a caller online. I'm going to throw another quick break in here, though. If you are listening online, call in numbers 914-205-5538. You can call in and listen, or you can press 1 to join the conversation. I'm going to take another quick break, and we'll be right back. This is the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture, Melvin Sherry Jr.
Let me say, as I've always said, and I will always continue to say, that riots are socially destructive and self-defeating. I'm still convinced that nonviolence is the most potent weapon available to oppress people in their struggle for freedom and justice. I feel that violence will only create more social problems than they will solve. That in a real sense, it is impractical for the Negro to even think of mounting a violent revolution in the United States. So I will continue to condemn riots and continue to say to my brothers and sisters that this is not the way. Continue to affirm that there is another way. But at the same time, it is as necessary for me to be as vigorous in condemning the conditions which cause persons to feel that they must engage in riotous activities as it is for me to condemn riots. I think America must see that riots do not develop out of thin air. Certain conditions continue to exist in our society, which must be condemned as vigorously as we condemn riots. But in the final analysis, a riot is the language of the unheard. What is it that America has failed to hear? It has failed to hear that the plight of the Negro poor has worsened over the last few years. It has failed to hear that the promises of freedom and justice have not been met. And it has failed to hear that large segments of white society are more concerned about tranquility and the status quo than about justice, equality, and humanity. And so in a real sense, our nation's summers of riots are caused by our nation's winters of delay. And as long as America postpones justice, we stand in the position of having these recurrences of violence and riots over and over again. Social justice and progress are the absolute guarantors of riot prevention.
All right, welcome back to the Panther Party Radio Network. This is The Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. And if you're listening online, feel free to call in. Call in number once again, 914-205-5538. If you would like to be part of the conversation, just press the 1 and I'll see you in the queue and I'll open up your mic. Before the break, I was just talking about these police brutality cases that keep plaguing us and how they work so vigorously to cover them up in the beginnings, you know, and try to vilify the victim and make it seem like it was such a righteous kill. And I had, during that break, I actually pulled up an article from the, let me see, this is from People, actually, and just, you know, discussing the mishandling of information and all that was done by this former prosecutor in the Ahmaud Arbery case. We all know that, you know, he was shot while jogging. Something else, you know, to add to the list of things that black people can't do without being bothered by racist white people who feel as if they have a right to tell us when, where, and how we can do whatever it is we're doing. But we're going to do it the way they want to, or either we're going to get out of their town, out of their neighborhood. We saw there was a video that surfaced a few weeks ago where the, I believe it was like an officer in the Army or Marines or whatever, but, you know, really handled the smaller young kid and then the block pulled up on them. And I'm all for the pull-up. I'm all for the pull-up. I'm enjoying seeing the fact that we are now finally getting to a point where we're you know, somewhat tired of being mistreated by everyone, and everyone doesn't have a right to say any and everything to us. The all defendants, you know, pled guilty to the charges And it's really more like to the point now, what's going to be done, you know? Are we going to see justice in this case? And then, you know, with all of this stuff coming to light concerning trying to hide the evidence, and now, like I say, with this former prosecutor being indicted that she mishandled the case, I mean, okay, what are we waiting on to chunk this case and just give them life? You know, why are we still going to go through the motions and give them an opportunity, because that's what it is, give them an opportunity to get a not guilty verdict, which could very well happen. Even with all the evidence that's mounted against them, we've seen it more than once in this country where the evidence is overwhelming, but the verdict never doesn't match it, you know. So just something else to, I don't know, not get mad about, but just something else to be concerned about. Because we really need to get on this police reform. And one individual is not going to change it. And enough of us are suffering from it that it definitely needs to change. And we can't rely on celebrities. We can't rely on entertainers and athletes because they don't live it the same way we live it. They don't live it like we live it. They don't have to deal with it on a level that we have to deal with it, because nine times out of ten, they're even on a different level than the police. So I don't know. You know, it's just bothersome that in 21 we still can't seem to find justice or fair treatment anywhere. It's sad that we even have to discuss cases like Elijah McClain, Ahmaud Arbery. Elijah McClain, the case was is just so open and shut to me. And after finally, I remember when they finally released the body cam footage. And after watching the body cam footage, I was even more angry because this man, Elijah McClain, that young man actually was very polite in dying. He was being very polite and cordial while being murdered. And even though him not being any sort of threat, and I'm just guessing that some of you may have seen this footage, but he didn't resist. He wasn't resisting. He wasn't a threat. He didn't have a weapon. But he had to die. Because some overzealous policemen were mad because he was trying to get home out of the cold. He had went to the store to get what he wanted, ready to get back home to indulge in whatever that it was and just keep enjoying his day as well as his life. But now he no longer has that. And will justice be served? Is the question. You know, that's always the question that we ask, you know. I feel like we need to stop forgiving them. As long as we keep forgiving them, they'll keep doing what they're doing. It's time for, like I said, it's time for us to really push this issue of police reform. We need reform across the boards because police brutality is out of hand, and it has been out of hand. It didn't just start in this case. You know, this has been an ongoing problem in several police departments across this nation. And like I say, now we have these police departments filling up with white supremacists, white nationalists, neo-Nazis, and those of the like. So just saying be safe. I believe I'm not being paranoid. I'm just speaking from what it is that I have saw. And what I have saw hasn't been in our favor. And like I say, it's just time for us to do something more beneficial to helping all of us be better and, you know, do better collectively. But I was only intended on doing an hour show tonight, and I've actually went over by about 15 minutes. But this subject is just a subject that, I mean, you could talk about it for hours and hours and hours. And then, you know, really I think the reason I discuss it as much as I do is because you really want people to understand the effect that it has on not just the person that it happened to. It has an effect on anyone who looks like that person, because that person could very well be them. You know, and that's like I was saying earlier, it doesn't affect some people the way it affects others, because some people will never have to worry about it happening to them. You know, we just got to be more concerned about our brothers and sisters and our fellow man. It all starts with us, you know, and it's time for us to start making some of the madness stop, you know, make some of it go away. And like I've been saying for the last few weeks, it's the perfect ideal time for us to start creating new normals. I was talking to a sister earlier, and, you know, like I was telling her, it's just time for us to build and really take the generations behind us and show them what it is to build, what it is to work together, what real unity looks like, what a real fight for justice looks like. Because whatever we start doing, they'll take it and take it to another, a whole nother level. We've got a weaker and wiser generation. We got to give them knowledge, strength, wisdom, like I always say, you know, on how to deal with these types of issues. Because no one wants to live in fear. No one wants to live in a state of paranoia. Can I leave and walk to the store without getting killed? Can I sit on my couch and eat this bowl of ice cream without getting killed? Play video games with my nephew without being killed? Can I walk to the store and get me a Arizona tea and a bag of Skittles and make it back home without being killed? Can I get down here to my new job that I'm starting Monday without being pulled over and being killed? Can I play with my toy gun in the park without being killed? Close this show out with that as my final thought, because I just went down a few scenarios of why some of our people have lost their lives, and none of them are worthy of them not being here. So I always want y'all to think about that. And also, during the course of this week, just think about what it is you can do to make our situation better. And when I say our, I mean us collectively, not just to make your situation better, but our situation as a whole. There's so much that needs to be done, so much that we can do. I love y'all. I appreciate y'all listening. And I'll be back next week, most high willing. And we'll get off into another topic of discussion. I would once again like to appreciate those of you who called in and listened. Thank those of you who listened online as well. Always appreciate anyone who takes the time out to just listen and be part of the show. It is well appreciated. Like I say, I will be back next week. Depending on my subject matter, but probably going to start doing our shows from here on out, unless, like I say, the show gets interesting. There are, you know, a few callers in on the line, but still we'll be doing an hour show to get information out. I think it's important that we try to keep each other informed with what's going on. It's imperative that we do that. Like I say, I'm going to close this show out this week. Like I always say in closing, it's time for us to plan, organize, and unify. We all have a key, and we need each other out here. With that being said, thank y'all. This has been the Panther Party Radio Network and the Big Picture with Melvin Seary Jr. We will catch y'all next week. Same time, same station. Peace, power, love. I'm out.
This is a coordinated activity happening across this nation. And so we are in a state of emergency. Black people are dying in a state of emergency.
Say that. Say that, sir.
We cannot look at this as an isolated incident. The reason why buildings are burning are not just for our brother George Floyd. They're burning down because people here in Minnesota are saying to people in New York, to people in California, to people in Memphis, to people all across this nation, enough is enough.
Yeah.
And we are not responsible for the mental illness that has been inflicted upon our people by the American government, institutions, and those people who are in positions of power. I don't give a damn if they burn down Target. Because Target should be on the streets with us calling for the justice that our people deserve.
Talk about it, Teresa.
Where was AutoZone at the time when Philando Castile was shot in a car, which is what they actually represent? Where were they? So if you are not coming to the people's defense,
that's right,
then don't challenge us when young people and other people who are frustrated and instigated by the people you pay. You are paying instigators to be among our people out there throwing rocks, breaking windows, and burning down buildings. And so young people are responding to that. They are enraged, and there's an easy way to stop it. Arrest the cops. Charge the cops. Charge all the cops. Not just some of them. Not just here in Minneapolis. Charge them in every city across America where our people are being murdered. Charge them everywhere. That's the bottom line. Charge the cops. Do your job. Do what you say this country is supposed to be about, the land of the free for all. It has not been free for black people, and we are tired. Don't talk to us about looting. Y'all are the looters. America has looted black people. America looted the Native Americans when they first came here. So looting is what you do. We learned it from you. We learned violence from you. We learned violence from you. The violence was what we learned from you. So if you want us to do better, then damn it, you do better.